you will turn in your Bibles to a little book named Philippians, I'm going to talk with you for a few moments about celebrating. I want to say good morning, first of all, to everybody and commend all of you men who are taking care of your wives and your kids. For the morning, since there are about 85 women who are at a women's retreat. If you're one of the dads taking care of the kids, I commend you. They'll be back this afternoon. Donna texted me Friday night right after the first session. She said the Lord just showed up. Two ladies gave their hearts to the Lord for the first time. She used the word several, so I don't know what that indicates, but she said several ladies have experienced a deepening of their understanding and a working of the Holy Spirit through the giftings of the Holy Spirit being released in their life, and so that's praise territory. Liz Harrison from Channel 30 News, a good friend of ours, was one of the speakers, and she said she did a great job. Carrie did a great job. So I thank you guys for taking care of the kids. I took care of Drew this weekend so that she could do along with his dad, and I'm glad that you're here. And I want to conclude our series about Love Does, and I want to talk to you about Love Celebrates, because that's one thing that it does. Christians do not party. Christians partay. Okay, there's a difference. I don't need a few drinks to have a good time. We can partay in the spirit of the Lord. In this whole series, the last 9 weeks, we've talked about a number of different things. Love does, it commits. Love makes a commitment. How many of you are here on that Sunday when we had a wedding ceremony take place and some people were joined in marriage? We talked about love encourages. Love seeks to do the right thing. I talked to you about 50 Shades of Black and White and mentioned that movie called 50 Shades of Grey. We talked about love serves. Love does. What does it do? It forgives. Talked about love engages last week. Andrew spoke, and today love celebrates. If you're taking notes, just write down this biblical definition. It's kind of a bare bones definition. It doesn't come from the dictionary. It's just simply this. Celebrate means to remember and rejoice. To remember and rejoice. The word celebrate is used 16 times in the whole Bible, 5 times in the New Testament. And basically, Old and New Testament, the word means the same. It has there's two different words. One refers to a formal celebration, an organized celebration, and the other one has to do with informal celebration, just that happens spontaneously at any given time. In the formal setting, back in biblical times, the Jewish people had 7 festivals, they call them, that they would celebrate throughout the year. Most Jews, many of them may not have celebrated all 7 of them, but most of them celebrated at least 3. There were 3 major celebrations. Now, in our culture, we have several holidays throughout the year. And some of them are bigger than others. New Year's Day would probably be a major celebration. Memorial Day would probably be a major celebration for our culture. And July 4th would probably be a major celebration. So we take time, schedule time, formal time, give days off, generally speaking, to celebrate those days. Now, for the Christians, we have 3 holidays that are major. That'd be Christmas. Even though our culture still celebrates to some extent Christmas, they're pushing Jesus out of Christmas. We've been happening for a lot of years. But for Christians, he's the reason for the season. So we have Christian. We have Easter. That's the second major holiday. And the third major holiday for Christians throughout the year would be Thanksgiving Day. So we set those times aside to focus on God, as we will do next week. But then there are those times of rejoicing that just happen. The actual word means to rejoice, to laugh, to be amused, to kind of mock or to scoff in a good sense, to celebrate, to rejoice, to be giddy. There's just lots of laughter. I lived with a couple in my first year of college up in Vancouver, British Columbia, and I worked at a gas station, and at the end of the day, I usually worked from 4 o'clock till 11. I would come home at 11. Sometimes they would still be up, so I'd go in and start to talk with them. And you know, when you're tired, after 10 o'clock, everything's funny for me. And we would just laugh and laugh and laugh. And Proverbs, is it Proverbs of Solomon, says, laughter is a good medicine. And we would just laugh and laugh and laugh. That's a celebration. That's a celebration. Informal, but a celebration. We had an informal celebration a couple months ago when we brought all of our volunteer people together, and we met in the Future Hope building across the way, and we just, as a staff, just made fun of ourselves. And Joe Cordero, who oversees our maintenance, he pretended to be Elvis and Presley and did mimicked a song. And some of our staff people, they were stick dancers. They put glow sticks all over them. We turned out the lights, and they shined and they danced. That was funny. We just did a whole lot of crazy stuff. I did a very bad Rodney Dangerfield impersonation over there. I said things like, man, it's rough out here. How many of you know Rodney Dangerfield? Some of you are too young, you can't remember him. He was, I get no respect. I get no, it's just rough. And I just said, boy, I had a rough childhood. When I was born, I was ugly. Doctor looked at my face, turned me around, turned me over, said, hey, we got twins. I had a terrible upbringing. My father was mean. I says, Dad, everybody hates me. He says, don't be stupid, son. You haven't met everybody yet. So I got depressed, and I saw a psychologist, and I says, I'm having suicidal thoughts. And he says, hey, you better pay me in advance. Then I got married. My marriage went down the toilet. He says, I don't know what to do. Maybe it was my fault. We've been married a year. I didn't know what to buy her for our anniversary. So I asked her best friend, what do I get my wife? She said, get her something that she would never get herself. So I got her a job. That didn't work out. Marriage was so bad that, and I read, we read the spiritual book called The Five Love Languages. Read it twice. Our love language wasn't in there. I guess the author didn't think that bitterness and sarcasm was a language. So I said some things like that, and I won't go through bore you with all the rest, but we just laughed together. You know, sometimes you just have to laugh a little bit. Sometimes you got to lighten up, loosen up. You got to let your hair down. You can take a laxative, do something that gets you loose. Could have gone all day without saying that, couldn't have. Well, the word celebrate means to just rejoice. And you can do it formally on special occasions. We celebrate, someone mentioned birthdays, Lois, today. We celebrate our birthdays. You know, we celebrate our graduations. We celebrate anniversaries. We just celebrate so many things. And the reason I have you turn to Philippians is because it's a book about celebration. It's a very small book. If you aren't familiar with the Bible, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, okay? It's a little book that has four chapters, and in that four chapters, the word rejoice is used seven times. And it's one of the major themes and the major reasons why Paul writes this book. In chapter 4, verse 4, and you have this in the bulletins, if you're still taking notes, says, rejoice in the Lord always. So don't wait until Christmas. Don't wait until Thanksgiving. Don't even wait till next week. Start rejoicing today. You know, today was what they call traditionally Palm Sunday. It was a day of rejoicing, a day of the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. And they began to rejoice and do just all sorts of things. David, when the Ark of the Covenant came into the city, it says he began to dance and rejoice. And some people got ticked off at that. They thought he shouldn't have done that. It was too childish. But he was doing it to the Lord. He says, I'm going to celebrate, and no one's going to stop me. I'm going to rejoice in our God. David says, I'm going to put the words of praise in my mouth, and I'm always going to rejoice in the Lord. So Paul is saying, don't wait for just the formal times, but at 10 o'clock when you sit on the bed talking with someone, laugh then. And he goes on in verse chapter 3 to give us three reasons. Chapter 1, give us three reasons why he celebrates. Let me give those to you and make just a couple of comments. Chapter 1, Paul starts off by saying this: Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's his first expression of celebration, his first expression of thanksgiving, first expression of rejoicing is, I thank my God every time I remember you. Well, I don't have anything to celebrate. No, yeah, you do. You have people in your life. You have people in your life. I want you to notice that Paul's celebration wasn't connected to temporal things. You see, happiness is connected to temporal things. I can be happy if I get a new car. I can be happy if I get a new house. I can be happy if I've got a vacation plan and we have enough money to do that. I can get really ecstatic. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind being happy. If I've got a stone in my shoe, I'm going to take it out so I'll be more comfortable. Nothing wrong with that. But his joy was more than happiness. It wasn't attached to the temporal things. It was attached to people who are eternal. See, you want to make an investment in downtown, love downtown. You want to make an investment in God's kingdom. Invest in the lives of people, because that's going to last. You're going to help them. Whenever we as a church family help people in the physical realm, we're helping them on an eternal basis because they are eternal. So Paul understands what Jesus said in Matthew 6. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Man, people are going to break in. They're going to steal stuff. It's going to rust. It's going to be corrupted. Invest your money in eternal stuff. Invest your time and your thoughts in eternal stuff, because that's what's going to bring back great dividends. So he says, I rejoice because of you. When I thought of that, I thought about, wow, how many people in my life caused me to rejoice? And just yesterday, I went to a men's breakfast here, the church, number of guys there. I oversaw a men's breakfast last weekend up in Fresno. And if, guys, if you aren't attending those quarterly meetings, they happen four times a year, I sure encourage you to. Saturday morning, about 8 o'clock, get out about 9:15, about 45 minutes, maybe 5 minutes longer than that or so. So I was there, and I'm sitting in a meeting with my son and my grandson, and looking at the guys around the tables. And Pastor Chad, how many of you know Pastor Chad? He got up there and spoke. And I'm telling you, as he was speaking, I was so proud of him. I'll tell you that he did a great job. I was thinking, wow, this kid's really grown and developed. He caused me to rejoice. You know, I rejoice because of him. My grandson makes me rejoice a lot, a lot. I get ticked off at him a lot, but he makes me rejoice. I mean, I get ticked. Just the other last week, he comes in. We're sitting at the table. We're eating hamburgers. Brad is just, my oldest son has just cooked them, brought them off the grill, got them on there. There's a bunch of grease around, you know, the plate. And I look at Drew, and he's got a green finger, totally green. And I say, man, how'd your finger get green? He says, oh, I stuck it in the grease. I guess he didn't want me to know what really happened. And I'm thinking, stuck it in the grease? What do you mean? Yeah, I stuck it in the grease and it just turned green. Man, someone's got to teach this kid how to lie. And if you're going to lie, let me tell you how to do it. I got a lot of experience in this area. Well, you know, to make a long story short, he's just a little liar. I mean, what can I say? You know, I don't like to admit it, it's my grandson, but still. He's just lying. It took us a while, but with his dad's help and his Mimi's help and my help, we finally got the fact out that he did a green Marx-a-lot and made his finger green. I guess he didn't want us to know that, thinking that we'd get mad. I don't know. So he ticks me off at times. But then, man, there are times when it just causes me to rejoice. You know, Donna's at the retreat. She left Friday at noon. I had to pick Drew up at school because his dad's working, and his dad was with his brother, my other son, this weekend. And so I had Drew at the house, and he slept with me, and Man, we just had a good time. I've slept with him in his single bed. You don't sleep when you're in a single bed with Drew. I have a king size bed, and man, we had all of his animals in the middle, and kind of down like this, and I was on this side, and he was on that side, and we'd just laugh, and it would get dark, and be quiet for a while, and he'd say, "Poppy, I love you." And then I would say, those are the times where you get to celebrate and rejoice. But thank God for people. There's a couple in the church, Francis and Luis, African-American couple, and some of you may have seen him. He's on one of the greeters, and I'll tell you, they're out of town. I texted him this morning. I said, "You guys going to be here? I want to brag on you a little bit." He said, "No, we're in Sacramento." He's just always smiling. I've been in their home, and we laugh together. And it's kind of, there are certain people that really do kind of cause you to be filled with joy. I don't know if Andrew told you last week. I think he probably said when he shared that I was out of town speaking at another church. But I was speaking at the Adventure Church in Fresno. And Adventure Church is actually in the same building that I started my ministry in 42 years ago. It was in that building that I gave my first message. I was the youth pastor at the time. The senior pastor was Roger Whitlow. We ran about 85 people on a Sunday morning. And when I spoke, it was 25 people because everybody took vacation because associates, youth pastors don't have anything to say. That's what the feeling was. And so I spoke there. So when I went back there this weekend, I was flooded with not just nostalgia, but all the people that I had touched years ago. And there was about 50, we counted 50 people. The church runs about 500 or 600 people. There was a real move of the Spirit in that day, back in the 70s, in that little building. It seats about 210 people max. And we had 4 services Sunday morning, 2 on Sunday night. You talk about needing people to serve. We need a lot of people to serve. Even today, I was told service we had to close one of the classes because we don't have enough workers. So we need to continue to pray that people will rise up and sacrifice to facilitate what God wants to do. But it just reminded me, and we had about 50 people who heard that I was going to be there, don't attend the church, but they came and they met with me and talked. And it was just a wonderful time. A wonderful time. I celebrated last weekend. I spoke to the men on Saturday morning. Donna and I both spoke to the women on Saturday night. I spoke 2 services. Both of them were packed out to the max. I understand what Paul says when I thank God for you. I can't tell you how many of you have made me rejoice just because of who you are and our paths have crossed. Who is it in your life that causes you to rejoice? What did Paul do? He says, "I thank God every time I remember you." If someone comes to your mind, what do you think about maybe this week, maybe this afternoon, calling them up and say, "Hey, by the way, I haven't talked to you for a year or 2 years, or it's been 6 years. I don't know how long it's been. I just want you to know you caused me to celebrate. You know, you caused me, Chad, I don't know, I don't see him here today, you caused me to celebrate. Drew, you caused me to rejoice." You know, call someone, tell them that they caused you to rejoice, because that's what it's all about. Paul says, "I rejoice, number one, because of people." Second thing he goes on to say, verses 4 and 5, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." Now that's that word, joy. "I always pray with a celebratory spirit inside of me. Because of your partnership." So it's people and the partnership. The partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now. Now, one of my top 10 convictions, I have 10 convictions that I live by, and one of them is don't do life alone. I'm convinced that you should never do life alone. And over the past 11 and a half years that we've been here, you and I have partnered together in kingdom work. And many of you have served and given and sacrificially given. I can't tell you how I rejoice over the partnership. I look forward to partnering with you in this Love Downtown project, because I really do believe it's more than just a building. I believe it's going to allow us to reach out to more and more people. And there's a lot of people who still need to know Jesus. And partnership is key in this process. Now, many of you may not know this, but the word partnership there in the Greek, the original language of the Bible, is koinonia. I rejoice in your koinonia. I rejoice in not the fact that we play golf once a month, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Paul says our camaraderie, our connection, our bonding is something deeper than having coffee together, talking about vacations and where you're going to go and the new house you got. It's deeper than that. It's koinonia. It's on the basis of internal sharing that I don't let everybody inside, but with you, I tell you what's really going on. I tell you where I'm really struggling. I tell you where I really screwed up and I need to have forgiveness and I need to have some help. Koinonia is that in-depth sharing of our lives together. And when you have people that you're connected to with that type of koinonia, now let's face it, we all have a lot of social friends. We go out and we talk about, hey, where'd you go last night? What you doing? And all the plan. But there's nothing wrong with it. I talk about that stuff too. But I need to talk on a deeper level. I ask some people certain questions about their life and they say, I've never been asked that before. See, we tend to think in shallow terms. But koinonia is talking about in-depth stuff. And when you have koinonia, then all of a sudden there's a partnership that really causes you to rejoice and celebrate. I am so thankful for the people in my life that I can tell what's really going on inside of Tim Howard. I don't always have to have faith. I don't always have to be happy. Sometimes when you go through life, it's just difficult. It's good to have some people where you can have that camaraderie. I think of Joe Cordero, who oversees Redeeming Rides. It's a ministry that fixes bikes for kids. And it's kind of grown. I do lots of other things, serve hot dogs and get bounce houses and do necklaces and for little kids and face painting. Lots of things go on. And there are probably, there's about 40 people who usually go out and help, but there's about 30 of those I would guesstimate that they're committed. Every time that happens, they go. There's something that happens when you commit yourself to work together and do the work of the gospel. She says, I thank God. I pray and I give thanks. I rejoice for the partners that I have who are trying to get the word out that God is a good God. Amen. Yeah, I love everybody. But man, there's something about those people who have says, I'll be a part of that. I'll give. I'll serve. I'll take some time. I'll lay down my life. Hey, listen, what did God do for you? I'm willing to give back to Him. Those type of people, when you connect with them, there's a bond that takes place. A couple took me out to, my wife and myself out to dinner this last week, and we've been planning for probably the last 3 months. But finally, a date came around so we could do it, and went out, and he told me, he says he's a part of battle zone groups where men get together to talk about their real life's struggles and what they're going through, and he says, it changed my life. I'm a different man because of those groups. See, they experienced koinonia, that in-depth sharing of our lives. So we're not a social club here. We are people who get together to talk about what's really happening. That's something to rejoice on. And I hope and pray, I try to always create an atmosphere for people to share their hurts and share their pains. One of the ways I do that, I'm not going to keep all of my bad stuff inside. I think we live in a culture that I want you to see all the good, but I keep the bad. I'm going to keep all the good, show all the bad. And as you show the bad that's going on inside of you, it gives people an opportunity to share some of that bad stuff too, because they feel as though they may be in an environment where it's free for them. Since you shared what's going on in you, maybe they can share what's going on with them. We've got to keep an environment of love, acceptance, and forgiveness so that God can keep doing what He wants to do. Otherwise, you know, I mean, my dad backhanded me when I told him that I had a problem in high school. And you know what you do when you get backhanded after you shared a problem? You don't share again. You know, it just drives you inside. So you can hold all the bad stuff in, or you can say, hey, listen, I'm screwed up just like everybody else. And when you say that, that opens up the door for them to share their struggles as well. And then, as the Lord spoke to us through Lois today, yeah, we can change from glory to glory, and we can celebrate because that is happening in our lives. Last of all, he says, I rejoice, verse 6, I'm confident of this. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, until the return of Christ Jesus. He rejoiced because of the promises of God. I tell you, I am convinced that God gives promises and he'll fulfill his promises. Let me retract and just tell you, I think this, hopefully it's worth your time. On Friday, before I spoke at the Adventure Church, I came home, it's about 3:30, 4 o'clock. I'd gotten in really early that day, up late the night before doing a group. Got home, sitting there, and I'm all ready for the weekend. I know what I'm going to share to the men. Already shared, Donna's going to help me, and I'm going to help her. We're going to do the marriage thing Saturday night. And it turned out really well, but on Friday I'm ready, and I'm ready for Sunday. Already got it. I know what I'm going to speak on. Already spoke this message a while back, and it's fresh, and I know that's what I'm supposed to say. And I'm sitting there having an iced coffee, and the Lord simply says, I don't want you to speak on that. I says, it's Friday, man. I said, I'm already ready. I feel comfortable with this one. I think I'll do this. No, I don't want you to do that. I says, so I had this conversation. Well, come on, you know, I worked all week. I'm a little tired. I've got a big weekend ahead of me. Come on. But he wouldn't let go. So I said, well, what am I supposed to speak on? So I just took probably about 20 minutes out there by myself, and I just started praying. And I said, okay, God, once I got done fighting. See, sometimes we think spiritual warfare is fighting with God until he does what we want him to. But that's not warfare. See, warfare is with the enemy. So I'm having this discussion. Well, finally, I say, okay, God, I'll speak on something else. What do you want me to speak on? So I'm thinking, and all of a sudden, it just drops in on me. Talk to them about how to position themselves to receive, to experience the purposes of God and the promises of God. Okay, I'm supposed to talk to them about positioning themselves. How can you position yourself so that when tomorrow comes, you'll be ready for his purposes to happen and his promises to be fulfilled. That's what it ended up. I went in and I told Donna, I says, hey, Donna, I said, I was going to be off tonight, but I've got to spend 2 or 3 hours studying on this thing. So take care of Drew. She says, no problem. So I went about my work. So in the course of preparation, I forget what time I'm supposed to be at the church on Sunday, so I go to their website. And I go to their website, and I look up the Adventure Church, and I get the times, and I notice that it says they're in a series, and the series is called Positioned for God's Promises. Wasn't I lucky? Man, that's such a coincidence. And God has some promises for us, and he wants them to be fulfilled. And if it requires sacrifice, then sacrifice. I tell you, you'll celebrate in the end. We've celebrated a whole lot since we've gotten here since 2005. I'm celebrating still because we got a bunch of kids there, and we're waiting, have a waiting list for preschool kids in our community. We're touching the community because of your sacrificial giving. Let me tell you, it's worth your time and your effort. And I know that God has promised that he's not done with us yet. If he's done with you, you should die and just go home to be with him. You know, he'll beam you up. No, you're here because you've got a purpose. You're not just hanging around. You're here for a purpose. So my prayer is, God, fulfill your promises to us. So having said that, let me just quickly conclude by saying, how do we start to develop a spirit of celebration always? Again, Paul says, I'll always rejoice. Number one, start with your salvation. Luke 10, don't rejoice in the fact that you have some authority and you can accomplish things. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Man, start to rejoice that, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I don't know why you even care. But you saved me, and you keep saving me. Salvation is not just about the past. It's about the present and the future. You're ongoing. Thank you. And when you turn your heart to Jesus, you know what happens in heaven? They rejoice. Listen to Luke 15. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner, one person who turns to Jesus, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven than over 99 righteous people who think that they don't know and need anything. God's going to rejoice over that. You can cause a rejoicing spirit to happen in heaven, even as it's happening in you. Start there. Get together with people and get together and rejoice with those. Paul says in Romans 12, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who reap. Weep with those who weep. In the last years that I've been here, I've been through, not with all of you, but a number of you. I've gone through some hard times with you, and you've been with me some hard times, but we've wept together, and we've rejoiced together. That's what journey groups come to an end this week. Mine doesn't, because I can't meet this week. I'm too busy, but we're going to meet the week after next, and we're going to have a dinner together, and we're going to celebrate our time that we spent for the last 9 weeks talking about the various things we've talked about. Anticipate something, participate, but then celebrate, okay? We're anticipating God to do something in downtown Hanford, and then we're going to have to start participating if that's going to happen, and once it's done, you'll be able to drop by and have a cup of coffee and enjoy yourself. I drive to Visalia on a weekly basis with my wife just to go to a coffee shop because I like the coffee. I go to Buzz's. I don't know if I've already said that here. Did I already say it? I go to those places. We can have that same spirit here, and I plan on, even though I'm kind of overseeing it, I'm going to sit down there. It's like I'm just going to have a cup of coffee. I'm going to say, wow, cup of joy. Ooh, this is good. Why? Because we all believed in God's promises. We all partnered together. We all appreciated each other, the kingdom of God. So let's celebrate. If you don't have anything to celebrate for, let me tell you, you have people to celebrate for. You have partnerships. And you have God's promises. And for those of you, stand with me. Let me give you a word as you leave today. For those of you who are in a difficult time right now, here's what David says to you. Psalms 35. Weeping may tarry for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Okay? Don't wait for the morning. Start rejoicing. You know what Isaiah 54 says? Shout! O barren woman, you who haven't given birth to child, shout. Don't wait till you give birth. You're shout and you will give birth. Begin to rejoice in God now in your darkness. Remember and rejoice. And that will, in fact, cause the stirring of a wind to blow a cloud of depression and a cloud of darkness away. And rejoice in God. Don't wait for things to go well before you rejoice. Rejoice right now. You got plenty to rejoice in. Just giving you three things. There's other things. Let's be a church who gets a shot of vitamin B today. You know, it's called Beatitudes. God, give me some Beatitudes. Change my attitude and make my attitude like yours. Because that's where it all happens. This is Easter week. Let's create a spirit, a sensitivity to God. Let's just take some cards, invite people. Whether they come or not, doesn't, you know, it's up to them. But let's rejoice. Let's have that celebration type spirit inside of us beginning today. Lord Jesus, we love you. You've given us a whole lot of reasons to celebrate. There may be some here today who they've never turned their lives over to you, and they've never asked you to lead them, and they don't have the joy that is, I guess, you know, one author says, unspeakable joy, uncomprehensible joy, a joy that doesn't make sense, but it goes beyond the temporal things. I pray today that if they're here and they've never turned their lives over to you, they'd just be touched by the Holy Spirit, and prayer team members and elders are coming down even as I pray, and they're going to prepare themselves, ready themselves to pray with people. Pray they'd come down so that we can introduce them to Jesus. And for us, Lord, to know you, just instill in us a spirit of great celebration so that we can rejoice this week, each and every day. I love you, Lord. Bless my brothers and sisters today as they leave. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Thank you very much for coming.